here.
It is April 27th, the year of our Lord 2026. It is Monday of the fourth week of Easter. My name is Wyatt Goolsby. I'm the executive director of this radio station, KSSHJ. You are listening to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. We, of course, are in the liturgical season of Eastertide, which is the 50-day period from Easter Sunday to Pentecost. Here's what's on the program for today. The principal of Corpus Christi Catholic School Houston joins us to talk about her love for the faith. Mrs. Juliana Double D will talk about the impact of Catholic education and what she's learned since joining the Catholic school two and a half years ago after working in the public school system. Plus, Holy Name Passion Retreat Center in Houston has a new director of operations. Paul Valdez will join us later to discuss everything that is going on at Holy Name and how the Retreat Center is building up our local Catholic community, and why he was attracted to the position and wanted to work at the Catholic Retreat Center. And of course, I'll also have a shout out to many of our local Passionist priests here in the greater Houston area. Before we do all that, though, we want to begin this program, as we always do, in prayer. So if you join me now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Many thanks to a couple of churches in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. My colleague Zach Allen and I visited a couple of parishes to set up a table and provide free materials promoting our own ministry. I was blessed to have had a smooth drive out to La Porte, where I visited St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception for the first time. It was great seeing their pastor, Father Houston Okonma, again. We at AM 1430 just saw Father Houston a little bit over a week ago at the annual Priests versus Seminarians basketball game, where he was playing in that game. And of course, many remember Father Houston from his previous assignment at St. Vincent de Paul in Houston. He was also seminarian for a year at St. Anthony of Padua in the Woodlands. So thank you to the community at St. Mary's in La Porte for being so welcoming. Again, it was great to see Father Houston, their current pastor there. Zach Allen had visited St. Luke the Evangelist in Houston, so thank you to the pastor there, Father Douglas Guthrie. Zach has visited, of course, St. Luke the Evangelist Catholic Church before, so he was happy to be there again this past weekend talking with parishioners. Fullness of Truth is hosting its summer Catholic Family Conference June the 5th through the 7th. The Catholic Culture Revival 3.0 will be held at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Round Rock, Texas. Conference speakers will include Father Chad Ripperger, Kyle Clement, Jennifer Baugh, and Jesse Romero. There will also be a Saturday youth track and family-friendly activities. There's even a comedy show with Catholic convert Shane Smith. Conference registration and hotel information can be found on their website, fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org, and we appreciate Fullness of Truth for being a sponsor underwriter of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. Young adults are invited to a healing mission the week of May the 4th. St. Joseph Catholic Church in Houston is hosting a four-night healing mission aimed at bringing the miracle of Lourdes, France, right here to our area. It's part of an initiative by Paradisus Day, local Catholic organization. Their founder, Steve Bowman, will be giving four separate talks each night, Monday through Thursday, May the 4th through May 7th. Now, registration is not required, so if you're a young adult, you are invited to St. Joseph's in Houston any or all of those four nights. The event each night runs from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. So that's Miracle of Lourdes Healing Mission for young adults at St. Joseph's in Houston, May the 4th through May the 7th. YCP, Young Catholic Professionals in Houston, is hosting a big name for their executive speaker series Wednesday, April 29th. Jim McInvale, a.k.a. Mattress Mac, is giving a talk on how work is life's greatest therapy. Mattress Mac is known in the Houston community for his charitable giving and, of course, for his Catholic faith. That event is open to all young adults and is expected to have lots of people in attendance. The talk by Mattress Mac will be at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Houston at their St. Basil's Hall. The doors open Wednesday, April 29th at 6 p.m., and the talk itself is scheduled for 7 p.m. So again, young adults in the greater Houston area invited to hear Mattress Mac speak at St. Anne's in Houston Wednesday, April 29th. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, a powerful testimony from the principal at Corpus Christi Catholic School, Mrs. Juliana Doubledy. She will tell us about the impact of Catholic education on students, the beauty of Eucharistic adoration, and her love for our Heavenly Mother Mary. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430.
Hi everyone, this is Father Nicholas. Grab your clubs and get ready to tee off at the 30th Annual Holy Name Passions Retreat Center Golf Tournament. Join us Monday, May 4th at Tour 18 for an exciting day on the course with an 8 a.m. shotgun start. Rally your friends, bring your A-game, and enjoy great golf, great company, and a great cause, all supporting the life-changing mission of Holy Name Passions Retreat Center. Head to holynameretreatcenter.com, click on events, and go to Golf Tournament and sign up today. The 30th Annual Golf Tournament, don't miss it.
Mr. Potty Plumbing is a proud sponsor of this radio station, AM 1430. Paul and Dorinda Obsta are the owners of Mr. Potty Plumbing and attend Mass at St. Bartholomew in Katy. Mr. Potty provides plumbing services for the Katy, Sugarland, Cypress, and surrounding areas. Their slogan is, "When your plumbing is naughty, call Mr. Potty." Their website is callmrpotty.com. That's callmrpotty.com.
On this episode of the National Catholic Geographic, we learn that once the human discovers Catholic radio on the GRN, it can't stop listening. It's drawn to the truth and knowledge of the Gospels, and knows that without sending its monthly pledge to the GRN by logging on to grnonline.com and clicking on Donate, being equipped with this knowledge so it can give a reason for the hope that lies within, wouldn't be possible.
Southeast Houston Cardiology is a proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network and enjoys great programming such as The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarindi. Southeast Houston Cardiology has been serving patients with heart disease and vascular disease with up-to-date care. Southeast Houston Cardiology has two locations, Webster and Pasadena. You can contact them online at southeasthoustoncardiology.com or 281-338-4004. Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. We on this program love to highlight the work our teachers and principals at Catholic schools do every day to make sure our children receive a good, solid Catholic formation. For many parishes, having a parish school is a true blessing. And that's true for Corpus Christi Catholic School in Houston, where their principal feels like she's found the right spot for her after years of working in the public school system. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network to talk more about the value of Catholic education is Juliana Doubledy. She is the principal at Corpus Christi Catholic School, which is located in Houston. Juliana, thank you so much for coming by the KSHJ studio. Welcome. Glad that you're here visiting us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
It was so great to meet you a couple weeks back at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Walsingham on that campus at Sacred Heart Live. You were telling me a little bit about school, Corpus Christi Catholic School in Houston, which has students from all over the greater Houston area. Of course, people who are familiar with Houston have heard and are familiar with Corpus Christi Catholic School, been around now since 1959. For people who are unfamiliar, though, where in the Houston area is Corpus Christi Catholic School located?
So we are located on 610 and Stella Link around that area, so close to Reliance Stadium.
Okay.
So it was a really great location for the rodeo.
Very good.
Yes.
I bet the kids were enthusiastic about that.
Oh, we got the trail ride coming right in front of Stella Link. And so we went out and got the whole school on Stella Link and cheered for the trail ride. It was awesome.
Very good. Very good. Tell me a little bit about what is the, how many students right now does Corpus Christi have?
We have 120 kids right now from pre-K 3 through 8th grade.
And so what does that make then for student-teacher ratio, roughly?
Well, roughly about 12, 15 kids per teacher.
Okay, very good. So obviously that's great in terms of learning because, you know, small classes.
Yes.
But my question is, therefore, is there a certain size that you're looking to kind of build that up to?
Yes. I definitely would not want to go past maybe 16 in the pre-K, kinder, first grade class.
Okay.
No more than 20 in the second through fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Then maybe 22 tops, no more than 22 in the middle school.
Okay. So that sounds very different to me, Juliana, than your typical school, which just feels like, you know, so many schools across the greater Houston area, whether they're at the elementary school, high school, or even college level, everything is expanding. But it seems like you guys are trying to kind of moderate that.
Yes, for sure. Because I know from experience that kids learn in different ways. And if a teacher has too many kids, you won't be able to really know or find that perfect way that this kid is going to learn. That you can only, I mean, we're human. We cannot divide our attention in so many ways. And so the more contained the class is, the better the teacher is going to get to know the kids, understand their learning needs, and meet those learning needs.
Yeah. You've been the principal now for 2.5 years. Before that, you were in HISD. You, Juliana, have a background in teaching, so you know how important that is to be able to give attention to that individual child. You guys even take note of it on y'all's school website for Corpus Christi about the need to address different students' needs, whatever it may be. Tell me about the contrast of that, working in HISD and maybe not having that opportunity to have as small of a class as you would.
Right. So as a teacher, when I was a teacher a very, very long time ago, mm-hmm. you had some very specific things that you needed to get to, and you had the pressure of the state testing and all of that. And so it was go. You didn't get it. Okay. Well, I'll get you in tutorials and keep going. And then there were kids that you didn't really get to know. I mean, yeah, you know, this is so-and-so, right? But I remember still one teacher, when I was already an administrator in HISD, one teacher came to me, I don't know, like in December, and came and said, you know what? I think this kid actually doesn't speak English. It was December. It was it was a long time that had passed. And up until then, but this was a very quiet kid, very well behaved. She stayed back there. She, you know, wrote. We were thinking that maybe she had dyslexia because she couldn't read very well. No, it was that she was literally not understanding anything. But because she was good, because she was quiet, she stayed in the back, the teacher kind of, you know, the squeaky wheel, you end up paying attention to that squeaky wheel. And so when you have these quiet kids, you know, in a small class, you can't hide. There is no, I tell parents when they come to Corpus Christi to tour, I tell them, look, if your child likes to hide and not participate or anything, this is not your school. here, everybody knows you and, you know, the teachers know you in the hallway. And, you know, I mean, this is a small community that will get you and will make you learn whether you want to or not, mm-hmm. you know? So that's huge.
And like you and I were talking before, there's a big difference between, for the teachers, a class of, what, 30 students compared to a class of 12 to 15.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Like, we had, at one point, we had 28 kindergartners in a class with one teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's that, my goodness, the teachers that handle 28 kindergartners, mm-hmm. 28 kindergartners at once. That's rough, but that's really so much different to being able to pay attention to this one child or this, you know, you have 12 kids that are sitting and you can see their progress. You can correct mistakes immediately. You can follow their learning journey through the year much better. Because if you pay such close attention to one kid when you have 28, that means you are not paying attention to someone else. Mm-hmm. When you have 12, it's easier to divide your time and your attention. 28, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Just impossible. Yeah. So you're able to really educate and target the needs of the kids when you get to know their learning needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And the students that are there at Corpus Christi, again, pre-K through eighth grade, they come from all over the greater Houston area because, you know, you guys are located right there, in many cases, on the way to work. If people are working in Houston, downtown Houston, or Medical Center, and they're on the way, they're coming in from places like Missouri City or Sugar Land, or on the other side, Pearland.
Pearland, yeah.
And they're coming, they need a good school for the kids, drop them off on the way.
Yes, we are it. Mm-hmm. You're needing a good school right there on the way to work.
Yeah.
We have it from all over the city, really.
Yeah. So that makes sense that you guys really have to pay attention to every student because they'll come from different backgrounds, different needs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We have completely different ethnicities. We have different types of accommodations that we need to give students. We have what's called the Catholic Accommodations Plan.
Okay.
And so that's how Catholic schools address the needs of what in public school is called special ed or 504. Those are the learning deficiencies, maybe you would want to call it. And so we have like the dyslexias and the ADHDs, autism, that all of that falls in the Catholic Accommodation Plan.
Yeah.
And so we address all of that with all the different backgrounds that we have in the school.
Yeah. Well, credit to the teachers who, in some cases, are making an assessment of that if they're very young, you know, pre-K or kindergarten. Like I said, sometimes you don't know automatically what exactly may be, why a student might be struggling. Like you're saying, that one example of what student who didn't even speak English. So there
exactly.
You go. That, yeah. Want to give credit to all the teachers and staff there at Corpus Christi Catholic School.
And let me tell you, we have some of the best teachers. I am blown away with the amazing teachers that we have. And they stay. We have teachers that have been teaching at Corpus Christi for 15 years, 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we have amazing staff.
Yeah. So you had mentioned before, you know, before you took on this role as principal of Corpus Christi Catholic School in Houston, about 2.5 years ago, you were in administration at HISD. And I could ask you about the contrast of that, but really, I'm guessing one of the other positives for you of making that change is not only the smaller class sizes that get the good teachers and staff, but also Corpus Christi is attached to the parish as well. And, you know, shout out to the pastor, Father Sekar, who we've had here, Father Tom Smithson, the former pastor, who's still on campus. I'm guessing that positive environment was also of interest to you when you took the job.
Oh, my goodness. One of the first things that, I mean, just gave me goosebumps when I got on my first day at Corpus Christi was starting the day with prayer. I mean, here come two kids, and it's like, yeah, we're doing the morning announcements. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, morning announcements, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they started, okay, in the name of the Father, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh my goodness, we are praying. it was amazing. It was just such a relief to be able to live my faith in my work environment and not have to worry about having to do things that go against my beliefs and my moral standards. That just was such a relief.
A real feeling that your faith is integrated into what you're doing.
Yes, yep. And that's something that, you know, I've come to realize, as in this past 2.5 years, and one of the things, and here I think I'm going to go down a rabbit hole, but one of the things that I think is making the world what it is right now is the fact that you have to divide your life between your beliefs and your work. You shouldn't have to. It shouldn't be that, oh, well, I go to Mass and I am good on Sundays. But the rest of the week, you know, we can do this, or we can accept that, or we can, you know, talk about this or be this way. No, this is okay. This is my job, and this is also my life. And it all should be all encompassing. I shouldn't have to limit my beliefs or kind of contain the things that I hold more deeply to only Sundays, that's when we go to Mass.
Yeah.
So that was such an amazing experience for me, from coming from working many years. I worked at HISD for 22 years, and you know, I love HISD, but changing into this, especially with all this climate of, you know, acceptance of gender identities and all of these things that we're seeing in schools, and coming now to an environment that really aligns with what I believe, it's just perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
What a blessing.
It sounds
like a real blessing.
Oh my gosh, it really is. It was it was a blessing. I didn't realize I needed that blessing. That's how God works.
Yeah.
I was placed.
Yeah. And Julian, to provide some context for our listeners or for our viewers online, your Catholic faith is so important to you. Nowadays, you go to Mass and have been for more than 2 decades on Our Lady of Walsingham, the Cathedral of Our Lady of Walsingham in Houston.
Yes.
You've seen a lot of growth. First off, for people who are unfamiliar with Our Lady of Walsingham, tell me about the community, about what's like going to Mass there.
Oh, where do I begin, right? So what is it like to go to Mass? You actually feel like you are thrown in the middle of angels, and you know, it's in the middle of heaven. You are right there. Mm-hmm. And Mass, I go to the 11:15 Mass, which is a high Mass.
Okay.
And so there's a lot, there's incense and chanting, and the hymns are, it's an amazing choir. And we are blessed with incredible priests that give the most amazing homilies. There is no way that you're going to get either fall asleep or bored in the middle of a homily, okay?
Right.
That's not happening. They are such an incredible group of men that just teach us every Sunday.
Well, the few times I've been there, Father Huff and Father Symington have just done a phenomenal job with everything.
Yes, you know. And don't forget about Bishop Lopes, who
of course not.
And celebrates very often, so that's a blessing also.
Very good, very good. So, on a side note also, you've seen Our Lady of Walsingham grow as a campus because, you know, it's a beautiful campus just to walk around and pray and meditate.
You feel God there. I don't know why. I really don't know what's the difference. But when you walk in, you feel this calmness that just comes in. I always think, well, that's God. That's the Holy Spirit all around us.
Yeah.
When we started going there with my family, it was in what is now St. Jude Hall. And so it was this tiny little church with a tiny little parking lot, and that's it. And it has grown into the cathedral and with the, you know, all these buildings, now the high school. I mean, it's just an amazing growth on 20 years that just exploded with growth. We were, I'm going to completely say the wrong number, but we were like 50 families when we started.
Really small.
It was really small. And now Well, when we started going, there was one Mass on Sunday and one Mass on Saturday. And now we have the Mass on Saturday and then 1, 2, 3, 4 Masses on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, and they are full. And
they are,
so that's amazing growth for, you know, a relatively short time. Well, no, 20 years.
Two decades plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Incredible. And so you'd mentioned Cathedral High School. You know, they're growing. Like I said, the whole campus of Our Lady of Walsingham has been built out. Thinking then about the value of Catholic education, like I said, there's Cathedral High School. You now work at Corpus Christi, a Catholic school. What do you think it is, long-term positives for students who get a Catholic education? And in many cases, I think maybe they may not realize it when they're very young.
See, it's kind of what I was mentioning with the living your faith on an every day, mm-hmm. Okay, so for example, a kid would get in trouble, and at a Catholic school, I can tell them, you know, that is wrong, and it's a sin, mm-hmm. and you shouldn't be doing this. And you are doing, what should you be doing? What do you need to do now? Oh, I need to go to confession. Yes, you're thinking about, and so educating them not their spirituality and the way that they should treat one another, the way that you should act in different situations. That has so much to do with your faith. I mean, so maybe to answer your question, the importance of that Catholic education is that it's a whole child. Unfortunately, I think that public schools, educate the academics, and there are some very, very good public schools that will get you to your academics and, you know, the SEL and socio-emotional and all of that. But what they are not doing is feeding your soul. And so what kind of an adult are you going to be when you are going to be able to separate that your beliefs with your actions? That you shouldn't do that. That's when we end up making mistakes. We end up, you know, going the wrong path.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming part of that is, as I mentioned before, having priests there on the campus of UOPS Corpus Christi, of course, yes. Part of the parish there. I give a shout out to Father Sekar and Father Tom Smithson. The priests there are part of the Congregation of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yes.
So. I'm guessing, tell me about the impact of just having priests there, having all school mass, that kind of thing.
Right. No, and not just, okay, so I don't know if I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to tell you this amazing thing that happens. It's after every mass at Corpus Christi, after we have the 8 o'clock mass. It's a daily mass, 8 o'clock. And after the daily mass, there's an hour of adoration, of, you know, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Because, of course, they are
Congregation of the Blessed Sacrament.
And so every day there is a exposition. And so the possibility of going to adoration for the children is there every day. And then Wednesdays, there's adoration all day. And so you see, so when we go to to the school mass on Fridays, you see our first and second graders that stay for their 10 minutes of adoration afterward. The first graders join the rosary to pray the rosary at the end of mass. You see these kids just kneeling and praying. And let me tell you, children's prayers are so powerful that we have to build them and give them all the tools that they need to be able to have a fruitful prayer life. And so teaching them how to go to adoration, because, you know, it's not just going there and sitting and then your mind wandering on other things. No, it's what you need to, you know, give thanks. Say your concerns, your fears, and then just pray for the, it's what I tell the little kids. You know, it's just going to a friend and saying, "Hi, God, I'm here. Thank you so much for my mom and dad. I really, really, really want that Barbie doll that I have been wanting." it's kind of that little bit of connection of, okay, this is how you do things that, you know, it wouldn't be possible if we didn't have the church there, if we didn't have the priests who are doing things. Like we had, before Ash Wednesday, Father Saker brought the fire pit, I guess, it's like a grill thing. And we burnt the palms from last year and made the ashes for Ash Wednesday. And so he did this in front of the kids, explaining how is it that we get the ashes? Why are we getting the ashes the next day? What's happening? All of that. It's such an incredible opportunity that not many people have. Mm-hmm. And the kids had it because we have wonderful priests in the community. So
much rich tradition of Catholic faith, and they're exposed to it, and that's great. And I appreciate, by the way, Juliana, I want to thank you about mentioning Eucharistic Adoration, because we love to promote Eucharistic Adoration here on the Guadalupe Radio Network, encourage it among our own employees. And you're right, sometimes the challenge, even for us as adults, much less kids, is being able, our mind wanders, or we start thinking about something else, we start looking around. It's not just the kids, we as adults are doing it too. So I just want to thank you for being so encouraging to those kids, as well as for us as adults, just to kind of reorient ourselves and say, it's okay if you get a little bit distracted, but then go back and be like, okay, what is important? Do I need to pray for a family member? Exactly. Pray for a spouse? Pray for parents or grandparents? Any other tips, any other things that you would add about Eucharistic Adoration that you do that might be effective?
I always, one of the things that people, there's a lot of people that tell you, oh, please pray for me for this. Oh, yes, or I'll keep you in my prayers. You know how you always, oh, you're sick, oh, I'll keep you in my prayers. But there's not that next step. It's the, oh, yes, I'll keep you in my prayers. And you kind of think about them. But for me, it's always the, okay, and God, I ask you to remember all of the people that asked me to pray for them, because I have a terrible memory and I don't remember everybody, but I will pray for everybody. So that kind of, okay, remembering who you are, who's in need. Plus also one of the things that I like to tell kids to do is that you should always remember the people who have no one to pray for them.
Yeah.
Like there's so many people that just are alone or that feel alone in this world and that they don't feel like anyone can pray for them. And we can, even if it's an unknown person, you can always pray for these and lift them up in your mind, in your prayers. The first and second graders like to sing. And so they do a chaplet of Divine Mercy singing. And so that's one of those other things that it's always, you know, if you're not quite sure what you need to do, just sit there and pray a rosary or do a chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's even if you're just holding the beads and going through the beads in your hands without saying anything, this will get you centered into what you are experiencing as you are doing adoration.
A lot of really great advice there. And you're right, Julia, I'm definitely one of those who definitely wants to pray for others. And that's great because, yes, sometimes we forget to pray for all those who don't have anyone to pray for them, that are throughout the world, that are lonely, that are alone spiritually, physically, emotionally. So a lot of great advice there as well. If people are just now tuning in, we're talking with Juliana Doubleday, again, principal at Corpus Christi Catholic School in Houston. Juliana, I did want to ask you, I know your Catholic faith is so important to you, as we've been talking about. I was going to ask you about some of your own favorite devotions. You had mentioned the rosary before, but I would be remiss if during this interview for the video portion, you actually have a Marian dress on. It has
yes.
M, the beautiful M for
yeah.
Mary.
And this is Mary of the star. Mary of the Shining Star of the Sea.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
right.
So yeah, I love my, this is my Mary dress. I am, my favorite devotion to Mary actually is Our Lady of Undoer of Knots.
Okay.
It's such an incredible image to think of, you know, here, Mama Mary, these are all these knots that I cannot untie, mm-hmm. and that they are weighing on me. And for her to just go and, you know, blip, 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 done, it's incredible. That's how I got to Corpus Christi. It was hard, starting to get hard to work at HISD, and I knew that I had to make a change, and so with my husband we started praying the rosary every night, and at the end we would say, you know, Our Lady and Doer of Knots, pray for me, mm-hmm. and we would light little candles for, you know, for to make a good decision, and just like that, this job came up. A shout out to Larry Massey at the Scanlon Foundation, mm-hmm. because he's the one who said, hey, wouldn't you want to be a principal at a Catholic school? I'm like, you know what, I had never thought of that. And he just put me in contact with the then superintendent, and I got an interview the next day, and here I am. My knot unraveled in, I don't know, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That was just like, wow, once we started praying, and once we really gave up this cross of, okay, this is a little bit too much,
mm-hmm.
And we gave it up to Our Lady, she just took care of it and was like, oh my goodness. So that's one of my favorites. I also, I'm from Colombia, and in Colombia when someone dies, you don't pray the rosary here you pray the rosary the night before. So there's a requiem that is prayed using the rosary. I love that requiem as well. So
very good.
Yeah,
a couple beautiful prayers there.
Yes, yes.
I would also encourage people just to go back to look up Our Lady Undoer of Knots. They may not everybody's familiar with that, but it goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Juliana, in our society where there's so many distractions, there's anxiety, there's temptation to sin, and we can, you know, like I said, Mary can help us to undo those knots.
Exactly.
By telling her about it, being in communication with her in prayer and saying, this is where I need help
right.
with, because I want to be closer to your son, Jesus.
And it's so hard to trust and to just pour all of your problems. And I am a problem solver. I like to take charge of something and solve it.
Yes.
And it's very hard to say, you know, I can't do this without you.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what you need when things are going when things are not easy.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm going to encourage our audience to continue to pray for you, the faculty, staff, and all the students, everybody who is part of Corpus Christi Catholic School and the wider parish as well.
Yes.
We've always received such a positive response there, such a friendly community, so we really appreciate it. Remind me, Juliana, the website for the school.
Yes, it's www.corpuschristihouston. That's all one word, corpuschristihouston.org.
Very good. Easy to remember, all spelled out, corpuschristihouston.org.
Yes.
I like how you're telling me before we did this interview. You're telling me that occasionally some people get confused and they say Corpus Christi, and they get, oh, you're going all the way down to Corpus Christi, Texas. And it's like, no, right here in Houston, you're not traveling all the way down there.
Yes. Unfortunately, some people don't realize that we are here.
No, and right
so,
here.
Yeah. So it's Corpus Christi, Houston.
An established Catholic school. Long time here in Houston.
So. And in a great location for you to drop the kids. So we're waiting for you. We're always, you just need to call our office, set up a tour, and we are enrolling for the 26-27 school year.
Very, very good. Well, God bless the work that you do and everybody, all the staff, all the teachers do there at the school and at the parish. Juliana Double D, again, principal at Corpus Christi Catholic School in Houston. Thank you so much for being with us. We really
appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful. Thank you.
You are listening to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we talk about all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee here with you, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. The next 6 to 8 months are going to be very busy for one Catholic organization here in Houston. Holy Name Passionist Retreat Center has a number of events on their calendar. All this while their new director of operations, Paul Valdez, has jumped right into his leadership role. So we figured we'd take a little bit of time to unpack everything going on at Holy Name Passionist Retreat Center, which and why so many organizations love to host events, talks, and retreats at Holy Name. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network to tell us more about Holy Name Passionist Retreat Center, as well as their busy schedule in store for the rest of 2026, is Paul Valdez. Paul is the Director of Operations and has been in that capacity now since March the 2nd. Paul, welcome into the KSHJ studio. Nice to have you here, sir.
Thanks, Wyatt. Pleasure to be here.
So we've had a number of people here on the program talk about Holy Name Passionist Retreat Center.
Yes.
Give a little background about the Passionist Priest, but for those who may be unfamiliar, tell us a little bit about what Holy Name Passionist Retreat Center is, where are you guys located, what is it?
Sure. We're located west center of town, mm-hmm. South Bunker Hill and I-10. So it's a place set apart where you can really go in and unplug from today's day. Mm-hmm. Our busy life right now, and we have so much going on. Especially with nowadays with the phone and everything that's quote attached to us, you go in there and you drive in. It's immediately quiet because we're in the middle of a community, mm-hmm. Bunker Hill Village, and it's you wouldn't know if you're back there. You're in the middle of quote the city because it's nice and quiet. We have trees, we have people of all walks of faith that come in there and they're able to unplug. And it's which focuses on the Passion of Christ. So it's mm-hmm. His love, His sacrifice, and His mercy, which is so needed at this day and age.
Yeah. And so, I was going to say, I know a number of different, like you mentioned, number of organization, church groups, faith groups come there.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, we have Catholic retreats. We have AA retreats. We have other hosted groups. We have Catholic schools that come in there for their retreats. So it's so important that you are able to support a wide range of programs, but also a wide range of age groups. I mean, when we have kids that are in fifth, sixth grade that are going there and seeing that and experiencing that, we're helping them get started so early on their faith journey to help to make it stronger so that it goes with them and their lives.
It's also interesting because as the area has grown, you know, you guys have seen different groups and organizations grow too,
100%,
just right along with the growth of the Houston area as well. So, Paul, tell me about your attraction to this job of director of operations, kind of how you came on board. First off, how'd you hear about it, and what was that attracted you to apply to the position?
Well, it very much so is very personal because I say that is it started about a decade ago. My wife actually worked there previously as a pastoral associate, so I was there volunteering, helping to with music. I play piano. I sing as well, and just helping out with being a part of the hospitality, the atmosphere that's there to help with welcome for retreat centers and other groups. I still to this day volunteer and sing. So as I was being involved there at Holy Name, the position was made aware to me. So I applied, and the rest went along with in God's plan, and I'm here.
What is it about the mission and vision of the Holy Name Passionist Retreat Center that you think kind of attracted you to it?
It's what attracts me is giving the opportunity to reconnect God in a meaningful way. I have a background with property management. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, you know, you would think that operations might sound, you know, like behind the scenes and about logistics, but what it really is, it's your support the mission. I mean, with everything, if everything runs well, uh-huh. and everyone is able to go and, as I said, unplug, then you allow the people to focus on their relationship with God. And what's also important is the mission really resonates with me. I'm a husband, I'm a father. And so being able to have that good, deep connection with God, with our faith, with the passion of saints is very important to me. And wow. to help people to see that and also gain that experience, it's second to none, I would say.
Yeah, and I want to mention that you and your family go to church at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Walsingham, which is a wonderful community.
Yes, so been there about 6.5 years.
Yeah, so it's great to know that your faith is so important to you. I know that it's so important to everyone there at Holy Name Passionate State Center, their faith in Christ.
Yes.
Tell us more about the environment there at Holy Name, because you had mentioned before that different age groups come.
Yes.
You know, young people, elementary school, adults. What kind of facilities do you have for different things? In other words,
sure.
Library, outdoor area.
Exactly. So when you first drive in, we have about 10 acres, okay? Mm-hmm. And you drive in there, you're able to see the campus. We have tall trees. There's good greens, flowers, etc. But so there's a gazebo where you can sit and just be. We have the Stations of the Cross on the other side, as far as the outside goes. They even have a labyrinth. There's a St. Michael statue. If you're just going to walk around and just unplug. Within the campus, there's a chapel where you can go and pray. We do offer Mass during our retreats as well. So when they have, and then there's meals that is offered to the retreatants when they're there. They have individual rooms. So if you're on a retreat, you're able to just go into an individual room, be able to just be. And I know I keep saying unplug, but I think it's so important. And then this way, you're there, you're fully there, you're able to walk around and have that quiet time with God.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying unplugged here, Paul. I think you're absolutely right to say we need it in this day and age.
Yes, 100%.
It's a challenge for many of us in the hustle and bustle of our day of life
100%.
To be able to have that and be able to just take a moment and have an actual space to do that. Sometimes all you need is a change of your environment,
right.
and you're able to do it when sometimes it feels impossible to unplug. So I think you're absolutely right to mention that. You'd mentioned the Passionist Priest.
Correct.
Being focused on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, so many of our priests here in the Houston area are popular. That includes Father Cedric Pizania.
Yes.
Father Nicholas is there. I had a good experience with another Passionist priest, Father Rob, when he came into town from Boston as well. Tell me, Paul, what is it about these Passionist priests that you think people like so much? What do you think it is about and that they connect?
People are drawn to them, how genuine they are. They have a deep love for Christ. And they're especially in this passion, and they're also very approachable. And we have so many people, God bless them, that are dealing with different walks of life that may be dealing with different things, mm-hmm. and be able to come in and to connect with someone who's going to sit and talk with you and listen to you and be able and want to not want to help you, but also want to pray with you or pray for you. That's valuable, I think, as well, and because they tend to meet people where they are. They listen. And then if you ever have an opportunity to listen to them preach, they do that in a way that really connects. They're not, if you've ever been to a parish and the pastor is doing this homily and it sounds like he's, quote, preaching over you, that's not what you're going to experience here.
Yeah.
There's a strong focus on God's mercy and love, and that combination really makes a big impact.
Yeah. I know that here on this radio station, we frequently hear from Father Cedric Pizania with his program, Live with Passion.
Yes.
So he's very active on social media. I saw Father Cedric recently in a video you guys at Holy Name put out to promote y'all's golf tournament, which is upcoming on May the 4th. And so it was great to see you, to see Father Cedric, a bunch of people at the retreat center in this video opening for this upcoming event. Talk about just the importance of community and collaboration and stuff like that.
It's huge. It's because our priests on a regular basis, they go out and they'll go and have missions at our churches in their surrounding area. Mm-hmm. And then they are always present and welcoming at our Catholic retreats. Any big events that we have, they make sure they're there, make their presence known, take a lead role to show that. And they're not in the background, yeah. It's so important to see a priest out there, especially whenever they're able to in their habit as well. It's a really good public image for us, and not just for us, but for the Passionist.
Absolutely, they are out there and active in the community. I'd also give credit to Father John Shork, who's also active as well. So I'd mention Father Cedric, Father John Shork, all who usually participate in the upcoming. Golf tournament. Yeah. So give me an overview on that. What's going on with that?
Golf tournament's coming up on Monday, May the 4th. So breakfast at 7, shotgun start at 8 a.m. They're going to play best ball. It's all about having fun and creating a strong bond to community. That's the biggest thing. It's not really about a scorecard. I mean, you're going to have everyone that maybe have a little more knowledge and whereabouts of golf, but it's really a fundraising event to promote Holy Name, to show that hey, we exist in Houston, Texas. Come see us. Mm-hmm. You don't have to come on in a retreat. We'd love to have you, but just come to the campus. See where God takes you. See where God leads you. And so the golf tournament is huge. It's a wonderful opportunity, a great opportunity for different vendors such as Guadalupe Radio to really get their name out there, and people can say, "Wow, we have a radio station in Houston, Texas that is not only Catholic but promotes other our parishes, our churches, the other vendors." It's a really good opportunity to work together.
Holy Name Passionist Retreat Center, of course, has been around a while, but people may not realize you guys have done this golf tournament now for 30 years.
Yes.
This is the 30th annual.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes, that's incredible that it's been able to been around this long and been successful. I have to ask, Paul, you had mentioned your love of music, but are you yourself a golfer? Are you going to be participating in this one?
So I guess I'm a golfer for fun. Don't look at my scorecard, but I will be there.
So, jump in there, give it a try.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I mean, it's a great golf course that could go and have fun. It's a Tour 18 up in Humble, Texas. Okay. I actually played there once. So if you're unfamiliar with it, those listeners on the station, mm-hmm. it has 18 of quote the best holes around the world. Apparently there are a few other Tory teams in and around the country, but I heard that one of the holes from St. Andrews is actually at Tour 18. So yeah, so but at I'm just going to have fun and really help promote Holy Name and just see who else we can get, make a smile on their face and say, hey, we exist.
Well, very good. Well, I know that my colleagues, Zach Allen and David Macchias, are going to be participating. They'll have a smile on their faces.
They're great.
They're great. They've been there in years past and had a lot of fun being able to talk with everybody. They may not always be looking at a scorecard either, but hey, you know,
right.
A little bit of practice, you know, you can get better with it. So again, Tour 18 golf course in Humble, a nice facility. And like I said, I know Father Cedric is always enthusiastic. I always see pictures of him. Golf clubs and stuff. So, like I said, you guys put out a video about that. I know he's very enthusiastic.
Very much so.
So, you guys put the information about the golf tournament on the website?
We sure do.
Okay.
It is.
So, tell me, what is the URL for the website? Is it spelled out or?
It's holynameretreatcenter.com.
Okay.
So, and you can, when you go there, look under events, and then you're able to find out everything about the golf tournament.
Okay.
If you are up to a high tech person, you're already part of our email list, and we sent that out. That has also the QR code as well, so you can scan it and boom, done. It takes you right to it. You can register. If you want to purchase the team right now, you want to purchase mulligans and stuff. There's other events other items you can purchase now.
Yeah.
And then of course, there'll be more there.
Very good. So we got the golf tournament coming up. Again, that's Monday, May 4th.
Correct.
Information is all there on the Holy Name Passionist Retreat Center website.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of the many things you guys have in store for 2026.
We got a lot.
Paul, you came on board, like I said, in March 2nd, and I can only imagine you just could kind of run around a bit of a whirlwind trying to figure everything out.
We are going, yes. It's been nonstop. You know, there's an old saying, but as a fire hose on, it is definitely on. But I'm
And that's where some of yourself who has background as a volunteer there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, thanks be to God that I have that background knowledge. But I'm loving, I have really supportive staff that really helps out. The pastors are supportive. There's mm-hmm. other past leaders there that in and around in the wide community with other parts, other retreat centers of USA that I'm able to ping and say, hey, how do we do this? So it's great. I have a good support staff. Mm-hmm. And just to tie back into your question, so yeah, we have lots of other events that are happening this year. There's a Diamonds and Denim Gala. So that's going to be on Thursday, October 15th.
Okay.
That's going to be in the ballroom at Tanglewood.
Okay.
And so we'll get more information sooner out as we get closer to date. But if you're interested, like, hey, what's going on with that? Please. Look on our website. If you still have more information, more questions, give us a ring, and that way we can help you out. Then, even the next big thing, and I say the next big thing, but it's pretty huge, is we have an 80th anniversary coming up for the Passionists, and that's going to be January 3rd, 2027, and we're going to have a special open house.
Okay, I want to reiterate that. Just pause on the second for a moment. The 80th anniversary of the Passionists' arrival. Wow, that's incredible. 2027.
It's huge.
I'm going to be staying in touch with you guys because I definitely want to arrange some interviews with more Passionist priests.
That'd be
Father
amazing.
Cedric, yeah, Father Cedric, Father John Shork, if he wants to do it, Father Nicholas. They're all great priests and they all speak well. Exactly. Father Nick, speaking of powerful voices, Father Nicholas is one of those.
Oh, yes, he does.
So that's exciting. That's going to be the 80th anniversary there. So open house for that is going to be January 3rd, 2027.
Yes.
You can't mention that too early.
No, we want to get the word out. It's huge. And if you haven't heard about Passionists before or Holy Name before, this is a huge opportunity to come and check it out.
Okay, very good. I'm also looking at the calendar here. We've got something coming up September 17th.
Yes, so it's going to be a choral symphony uh-huh. with the Sorrowful Mysteries, and that's going to be at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church.
Okay.
So it's with a world-renowned composer. His name is Daniel Nags. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be performing that there at St. Michael's. So save that date. Mm-hmm. Details are forthcoming soon.
Very good. Excellent. So lots going on there, and we'll help get the word out with more of these things as they're upcoming. And, of course, you guys, again, post that, all kinds of stuff, on y'all's website.
For sure. HolyNameRetreatCenter.com.
Very good. And, of course, there's an events tab that people can
there
click
sure is.
On.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. Well, like I said, all these things sound wonderful, and like we were talking about before, Paul, I know for so many people that participate, work there, volunteer at Holy Name Passionate Retreat Center, their faith is so important to them. I had mentioned how your faith is so important to you. You and your family attend Mass at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Walsingham. I like to have people, when they come on here, mention if they have any favorite prayers, favorite devotions, favorite saints.
Sure.
What's special for you? What stands out for you?
What tends to come back to me is, as a young age, we did the daily rosary.